ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय एवं स्वकर्म पतितं भवभयतरण्यं अन्योन्यजन्म मरणाशनभीतभीतम् पश्येन् जनं स्वपरविग्रहवैरमैत्रम् हन्तेति पारचरपि प्रमुदम् अद्य
My dear Lord, you are always transcendentally situated on the other side of the river of death. But because of the reactions of our own activities, we are suffering on this side. Indeed, we have fallen into this river and are repeatedly suffering the pains of birth and death and eating horrible things. Now kindly look upon us, not only upon me, but also upon all others who are suffering. And by your causeless mercy and compassion, deliver us and maintain us.
Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada.
Prahlad Maharaj, a pure Vaishnav, prays to the Lord not only for himself, but for all other suffering living entities. There are two classes of Vaishnavas, the Bhajan Anandis and the Gosti Anandis. The Bhajan Anandis worship the Lord only for their own personal benefit. But the Gosti Anandis try to elevate all others to Krishna consciousness so that they may be saved. Fools who cannot perceive repeated birth and death and the other miseries of materialistic life cannot be sure of what will happen to them in their next life. Indeed, these foolish, materially contaminated rascals have manufactured an irresponsible way of life that does not consider the next life. They do not know that according to one's own activities, one receives a body selected from 8,400,000 species. These rascals have been described in Bhagavad Gita as Duskritino Mudha. Non-devotees, those who are not Krishna conscious, must engage in sinful activities, and therefore they are mudhas, fools and rascals. They are such fools that they do not know what will happen to them in their next life. Although they see varieties of living creatures eating abominable things, pigs eating stool, crocodiles eating all kinds of flesh, and so on, they do not realize that they themselves, because of their practice of eating all kinds of nonsense in this life, will be destined to eat the most abominable things in their next life. A Vaishnav is always afraid of such an abominable life. And to free himself from such horrible conditions, he engages himself in the devotional service of the Lord. The Lord is compassionate to them, and therefore he appears for their benefit. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata Abhyutanam dharmasya tadatmanam srijam yaham. Whenever And wherever there is a decline in religious practice, O descendant of Bharat, and a predominant rise of irreligion, at that time I descend myself. The Lord is always ready to help the fallen souls, but because they are fools and rascals, they do not take to Krishna consciousness and abide by the instructions of Krishna. Therefore, although Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is personally the Supreme Lord Krishna, he comes as a devotee to preach the Krishna consciousness movement. Yare deka tarekaha Krishna upadesh. One must therefore become a sincere servant of Krishna. Amara gyoy guru hoy tar edesh. One should become a guru and spread Krishna consciousness all over the world simply by preaching and the teachings of Bhagavad Gita. We are reading from Canto 7 of Srimad Bhagavatam, Chapter 9, entitled Prahlad Pacifies the Lord with Prayers, Text 41. Prahlad Maharaj, although still a small child, have passed through such immense physical and emotional trials and tribulations in his life. Prahlad is always thinking of his guru, Srila Narada Muni. That is his shelter. Can you imagine being a devotee, child, a little baby, passing 1 year, 2 year, 3 year, 4 year, 5 year, seeing the atrocious, egoistic, material activities of your own father, Hiranyakashipu? That is a serious trial. Children that age are naturally very much vulnerable and easily influenced by those around them, specifically and especially their parents. Hiranyakashipu was not only engaging in his own varieties of activities, but he was demanding Prahlad to follow him. And there were no other devotees in the entire kingdom. Hiranyakashipu isolated Prahlad, kept him surrounded by those who would affect Prahlad according to Hiranyakashipu's vision. He had no one. Seriously harassed. Like Sita in the Ashokvan of Sri Lanka, under the powerful command of Ravana, surrounded by horrible Rakshasis and Rakshasas, who were all determined to get Sita to surrender to Ravana. She was alone and helpless.
except for Vibhishana's wife, would sometimes go and try to give her encouragement. But Prahlad is just a little five-year-old boy in such a predicament. Surrender to Hiranyakashipu or die. The types of tortures they inflicted upon him, the various methods they tried to murder him. Horrible, graphic. Just shooting a person with a gun is just really quick and unemotional. But throwing a person in a pit of poisonous snakes, blazing fire, holding them on the bottom of an ocean, these are very dramatic ways of trying to murder someone. And along with the physical was all the verbal abuse he was receiving. At any time, like Sita, at any time, all he had to do was say, "All right, I will cooperate." Sita would have been the queen of Sri Lanka. Prahlad would have been the king of the world. He would have been the prince regent with all the facilities, all the power, all the opulence of his father. But as Sita would not compromise her faithfulness to Sri Ram, Prahlad would not compromise his faithfulness to Sri Ram or to Krishna or to the order of his spiritual master. And eventually, the Lord appeared as Narahari and removed all obstacles from Prahlad's life. He passed all tests. Lord Narasimhadev is offering him all benedictions. And in this verse today, and the verses of this chapter, Prahlad is offering his prayers. Bhagavad Gita teaches what is the perfection of life and how to achieve it. Srimad Bhagavatam takes or begins from the platform of the conclusion and the essence of the Gita. Sarvadharman Parityasya, to always surrender to Krishna. And how do we always surrender to Krishna? Manmana bhava mad bhakto, by always remembering him in the mood of his devotee. How this is done practically, even under the most difficult circumstances, or under the most favorable circumstances, everything is there in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Mahajano yena katasa panta. We cannot imitate the people of the Bhagavatam. We can't imitate Hiranyakashipu. We could follow in his footsteps. Try standing on your toes for 100 celestial years. We can't imitate either the demons or the devotees of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Materialistic people follow in the footsteps of the asuras, and the Vaishnavas, the path of perfection is to follow in the footsteps of the great souls. How to practically live Bhagavad Gita?
intimately. And because this material world is a place of birth, old age, disease, and death, and because Maya is so strong, she is all-powerful. When Krishna says, Maya dyakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam, it's very frightening, and it's also very, it gives us great hope. Krishna says, I am the controller of material energy. The frightening part is, if Krishna is the controller of material energy, and Krishna is all-powerful, that means material energy is all-powerful. That's frightening. But what gives us hope is because he's controller, if we surrender to him, daiviheshu gunamayi mama maya duratyaya mamevam ye prapadyante mayam etatarantite. There's no other way. If there was anyone else, including ourselves, that could honestly say that I am the controller of material nature, then that person could save you. Neither the president or the prime ministers or the greatest scholars or the greatest poets or the most powerful orators or the strongest athletes, no one can say, I am the controller of material nature. Therefore, no one can save us from Maya, from the power of the illusory energy. But Krishna says it. But not only does he say it, but he is it. He proves it. We were discussing in Vrindavan how he can put the whole cosmic universe within his mouth, and yet it remains outside of his mouth in the same way. And his mouth didn't even grow. That is how Krishna is the controller of material nature. He can just put the whole universal, all the sun, the moon, all the planets, all living entities, all demigods, everyone is inside his little mouth. And they're not crowded. It's not like a zip file where everything is condensed in a real small size. It's full-fledged. Whole universe. Demigods are flying around in their machines and everything, all in his mouth. And at the same time, exactly the identical universe is outside of himself. How is he able to do that? Maya dyakshena prakriti. Because he's the controller of material energy. He can do anything he pleases according to his will. He is abhigya, swarat. He is all-knowing and completely free, independent. If anyone else could do that, they could save us from the all-powerful effect of Maya. Therefore, Krishna is the only shelter. Shri Krishna Sharanam Mama. There is no other shelter except Krishna, ultimately. Bhoktaram Jagyatapasam Sarva Lokomehisuram Suhridam Sarva Bhutanam Gyatva Mam Shantim Richchati. If we just accept everything as Krishna's property, that everything is meant for Krishna's enjoyment, and especially that Krishna is everyone's dearest friend. He is the ultimate friend. He's the only true friend. And who is a real friend in this world? Anyone who helps to bring us to Krishna. Any devotee of the Lord who helps us remember Krishna is our true friend. Now, as we make spiritual advancement, like Prahlad, he doesn't distinguish friends and enemies. This is Prahlad's greatness. He's a Mahabhagavat. When he was in the womb of his mother, Hiranyakashipu was out, you know, doing his things. The devatas kidnapped Prahlad's mother. There was no way they were going to commit an abortion. That was an unheard of thing. Let the child be born, then we will kill him. But Narada Muni came and told them, the child in the womb is a Mahabhagavat. And they accepted. So Prahlad explained to his own teacher, Sanda Anamarka, you are teaching how to exploit your friends and how to exploit and conquer your enemies. But I don't see friends and enemies. We have just said that Krishna is the only real friend. And anyone who helps us remember Krishna is our friend. Prahlad, everyone helped him remember Krishna. Even Hiranyakashipu. Even all the snakes in the pit that he was thrown into. Even all the Rakshasa demons who were trying to stab him with tridents and spears. Even Sanda and Amarka, who were emotionally terrorizing that little boy. For him, whatever happens in this world, he wasn't concerned with prestige. He wasn't concerned with honor or fame or any of these things. He wasn't concerned with his own comfortable position. He was only concerned with Krishna. And everyone was helping him remember Krishna. Narada Muni helped him remember Krishna. He's his guru. The demons, by putting him in dangerous conditions, were helping Prahlad remember Krishna. So Prahlad was seeing everyone as a friend. Prahlad loved everyone. There's nothing you could do to this boy. That was the amazing thing. Hiranyakashipu couldn't even get Prahlad to be mad at him. This really was very difficult for Hiranyakashipu. He couldn't get Prahlad to be afraid of him. He couldn't get Prahlad to hate him. Prahlad loved him. He was trying to do everything to break that love. He couldn't. Because Prahlad had no concern with material enjoyment. He had no selfishness. He only wanted to remember Krishna. Of the 9 processes of devotional service, there is an example for each and every one in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And Prahlad Maharaj personifies Smaranam, remembrance of Krishna. How to live happy in this world? Prahlad was happy. He was happy because everything that came upon him just helped him remember Krishna. And his only happiness was remembering Krishna. And there was no power of material energy or anyone within it to take that power away. People could disturb our happiness. Unless we're like Prahlad, where our happiness is remembering Krishna. Then whatever anyone does to us, good or bad, we remember Krishna, we're happy.
That is transcendental. Prahlad's only sadness was to see anyone forgetting Krishna. That broke his heart. This is the beautiful apparent contradiction within the heart of a Vaishnava. A Vaishnava is ananda, is always in transcendental happiness, a pure Vaishnava. But at the same time, paradukaduki, in distress to see others' distress. In ecstasy remembering Krishna, but suffering to see other people suffering. How could they both simultaneously exist? On a material platform, they cannot. You can't simultaneously be in ecstasy and suffer. Where there's suffering, there's no ecstasy. Where there's ecstasy, there's no suffering. But on the spiritual platform, they are both simultaneously existing. Because our ecstasy in pleasing Krishna. And when we suffer in compassion for others, that gives pleasure to Krishna. When a devotee suffers seeing other people suffering on a spiritual platform, that compassion gives pleasure to Krishna. And giving pleasure to Krishna is what gives us ecstasy. Krishna reciprocates. So that suffering in the spirit of compassion is in and itself ecstasy. It's not side by side. It's a part of the ecstasy. It is inseparable from that ecstasy of loving Krishna. Because our love is based on service. Not what we can take from Krishna, but what we can give for Krishna. Compassion in this material world is what we could give to Krishna. And a great Vaishnava feels it. Prahlad is asking nothing really for himself. He's using the analogy of the river. The river which is dividing material and spiritual existence, Vaitarani. Lord Narasimhadev is on the other side of the river. In the land of complete freedom, freedom from janma mrityu jara vyadhi, dukkha dosa nudarshanam, the miseries of birth, old age, disease, and death. Srila Prabhupada was very, very strong to emphasize these are the real problems of life. Not just how much money we have, that's a problem. Not just, you know, what our health is, that's a birth, old age, disease, and death. These are real problems. And they are unsolvable by any other means but surrendering to Krishna. So Lord Narasimhadev is on the other side of this river of birth and death. And Prahlad says, I'm on the other side with everybody else. I have fallen into this river. We have fallen into this river and are repeatedly suffering the pains of birth and death and eating horrible things. He's begging the Lord, the only hope, the only shelter. Now look upon us.
not only me, but also upon all others who are suffering. And by your causeless mercy and compassion, deliver us and maintain us. Here in Srila Prabhupada explains, this is the quality of a pure Vaishnava. A Vaishnava prays not only for him or herself, but prays for all suffering beings. Because bhakti is about relationship. Impersonalism is about destroying, or let us say, forgetting all relationships. Bhakti is about cultivating relationship. Our relationship with God. Our relationship with others in the spiritual world. And also cultivating a relationship with every spirit soul, every living entity who is part of God, beginning with the Vaishnavas. In Christianity, the golden rule is to love God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Do unto others as you would want someone to do to you. That means you're seeing your own welfare in the welfare of others. That's only possible when there's love. Some love. A mother's love for a child. A mother is more concerned with the welfare of the child than herself. Yes? In the airplanes, they say, put the oxygen mask on yourself first, then your baby. Because the tendency is a mother's going to care more about the baby than herself, and she's going to put the oxygen mask on the baby first. That's the tendency. But the problem is they both die. Because unless she has oxygen, she can't really do the right thing for him or her. So even when a devotee is trying to save him or herself, a devotee is doing it for the welfare of others. When we chant our prescribed number of names of Krishna every day, we should put our heart and our soul into it with great attention. We want to purify and deliver our own hearts. But Prabhupada explains there are two categories of Vaishnavas. The Bhajanandis and the Gostiyanandis. Bhajanandis, they very much want to save themselves by taking shelter of Krishna. Gostiyanandi want to save ourselves so that we could be instruments to save others. Because we see other living beings as our own self. As we're all part and parcel of Krishna, we're all part of each other. This is a philosophical principle that we should very, very thoughtfully understand. We often preach that we're all part and parcel of Krishna. We're part and parcel of Krishna, but that means we're all interrelated as parts of each other. Yes? Every living being is a part of Krishna. To see any of those parts suffering is very difficult as we make spiritual progress. And the only hope is if the Lord looks upon us and carries us across this river of birth and death. We have no power. Krishna has all power. And Prabhupada quotes from the Bhagavad Gita, yada yada hi dharmasya, that Krishna comes into this world again and again and again only to help to rescue us from, to take us across this river of Vaitarani to his own eternal spiritual home. And Prabhupada cites Lord Chaitanya, the most merciful avatar. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes in the role of a devotee to teach us by his own life, by his own prayers, by his own example, how we can attract the glance of Krishna. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Prabhupada quotes this beautiful verse, which really says everything.
Yari deka tare kaha Krishna upadesh.
One must therefore become a sincere servant of Krishna. We simply accept the process of bhakti that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taught. Chanting the holy names, following the four regulative principles, eagerness to hear about Krishna, worshiping the deity, offering prayers. When we study the nine processes of devotional service, we see how Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu so magnificently practiced all of these things. Sravanam, hearing, so many examples. When he would meet with a devotee so many places in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it explains, they would just talk about Krishna 5 to 7 days without eating or sleeping sometimes. They were so absorbed. When he would hear Gadadhar Pandit recite Srimad Bhagavatam hours and hours, he would be in ecstasy. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Varaha Nagar, which is the Calcutta area, near the, some people say it's the area where Prabhupada's birthplace. There was a man reciting Srimad Bhagavatam. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, hearing Bhagavatam, he was so enrapt in ecstasy, he was dancing. He's dancing, his hair's on standing on end, his eyes flowing with tears, his limbs trembling. He was dancing and dancing. And he just said, go on reciting, just listening. He wasn't even saying anything, he was just listening. As, you know, Savai Pung Shang Paro Dharmo Yato Patir Pokshaje, and Mahaprabhu was going out and just dancing in ecstasy, uncontrollably. For 9 hours. Then he gave that man the name Bhagavatacharya because he was so giving so much pleasure to him for reciting the Bhagavatam. And as far as Kirtanam, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Kirtans, Kirtaniya Sadahari, Srivas Thakur's house, all night, every night, for a year. Sometimes all day and all night for a whole year. And when he brought the devotees out to march to Chankazi's house or to dance to Chankazi's house, nobody ever saw Kirtanla. The demigods were coming to watch. When he was dancing before Lord Jagannath and Ratha Yatra, Krishnadas Kaviraj says it was Kirtan. It was a dance of devastation. Not like Shiva's devastation. It was just
devastated the mind, devastated the senses, devastated everything, and all that was left was Krishna. Just everything was conquered by Krishna and his holy names. At Ramakali, even though Nawabhusayan Shah was just nearby with all his armies, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was doing kirtan in a place where kirtan was absolutely illegal. Penalty, heavy penalty and punishment for doing any public kirtan. And he was right there dancing. For days, devotees were trying. They had messages for him to stop, but nobody could give him the message. Days went by. Nobody could give him the message. That is how he did kirtan. Smaranam in Gambira. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what his remembrance of Krishna. So deeply absorbed in Sri Radha's love for Krishna. How he remembered Krishna. He would see a little sand dune. And he remembered Govardhan Hill. And not only did he just say, oh, I remember Govardhan Hill. He remembered Govardhan Hill. And he just went right into the mood of such ecstasy. He was running like the wind toward to find Krishna there. He was running, and devotees were chasing after them. They didn't know what to do. And then finally he just fell to the ground. And he was in... There was no physical life in him. His body was in a completely supernatural condition. The devotees were screaming out the holy names of Krishna in his ears, chanting for hours, and then he comes to consciousness. So why have you brought me here? I was at Govardhan Hill, and I saw Radha. I was picking flowers for Radha and Krishna, and I saw them go into a cave, and I went into the cave to watch their leela, and then you woke me up and took me here. Why did you take me here? Or one night during Sarat Purnima, full moon is going, the devotees are singing nice songs, he sees the sea, and he remembers the Yamuna. But how does he remember the Yamuna? Nobody sees him. Nobody sees him see the sea, and he just jumps in the sea and goes unconscious. And all night long, he's just floating in under the sea and on the surface of the sea. And finally, the fishermen found him in a net. He caught him in a net, and he was in the sand. And when Swarup Damodar Goswami and everybody saw him, his covered with sand. He was white from being in the salty ocean all night, and his limbs were disjointed. Hare Krishna. And they were chanting very loudly, why did you bring me here? I was in Vrindavan on the banks of the Yamuna, and I saw Krishna and the gopis in the Yamuna River, where there were beautiful lotus flowers, and they were having splashing pastimes together and joking together sweetly. And you woke me up and brought me here. This is how he was smaranam. All the nine processes of devotional service and prayers. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what beautiful prayers he would offer to Lord Jagannath. And he gave us the ultimate of all prayers, Shikshastakam, which is the very prayers of his own heart. And as far as Adarchanam, deity worship, how he worshipped Jagannath, how he worshipped Tota Gopinath, his deity worship was so intense. In Navadvip, he had a Shalagram Shila. He'd pick up the Shalagram Shila to begin the puja, and he would start crying so much that all his clothes were soaked with tears. He would go and take his bath pick up the Shalagram Shila, cry, his clothes were soaked. He did that again and again. Finally, he said to Gadadhar Pandit, "You please do the puja because I'm too fallen." This is what type of archana. Now, we're seeing Radha and Krishna, Radha Gopinath, so beautiful, so nicely dressed every day with ornaments. Krishna's playing his flute. Srimati Radharani's dancing for Krishna right in front of our eyes. Lord Chaitanya, the little Shalagram Shila, he's seeing Krishna so much. He's worshiping that Shila with his heart of hearts. He's in a total ecstasy. That's spiritual vision. Sometimes, you know, the conditioned soul, the deity shouldn't look, the deity shouldn't look like this. The deity, as managers, we should try to get people to properly worship and dress the deities. But we shouldn't see we should see Krishna there no matter what happens, no matter how they're dressed. We're giving instructions for the sake of preaching and for the sake of Krishna's satisfaction. But personally, we should be seeing Krishna. Lord Chaitanya, the Govardhan Shila. He was in the ecstasy of Radha's love every time he saw. Such archanam, such deity worship. He was doing abhishek for Krishna with the torrents of his love in tears every day. Pada Sevanam for his spiritual master. His spiritual master, he cooked for him. He gave him his own food, served him, massaged his feet, rubbed his legs. Very humble servant. And was always eager to do that for the Vaishnavas too. Do personal services. And as far as Sevanam, his Guru Maharaj ordered him, spread the holy name all over the world. Yes, spread the holy name. Establish the Sankirtan movement. How he took that instruction as his heart and soul. He even restrained himself from running to Vrindavan just to establish the Sankirtan movement, carrying out the orders of his spiritual master. Dasyam Gopi Bharatur Patakamalayor Dasa 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 Anudas. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he revealed his own heart. I'm not a Brahmana Kshatriya Vaishya Shudra. I'm not a Brahmachari Grihastha Vanaprastha Sannyas. Who am I? What am I? Only the servant of the servant of the servant of the gopis. That is my only aspiration. Atmanivedanam. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how he surrendered everything. Incomparable example. He gave up his loving mother, his loving wife, his beautiful home in Navadweep to become a sannyasi. Only to be an instrument, only to show compassion to all others in a mood of surrendering to Krishna. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would hear, when he would chant, when he would worship the deity, anything he was doing, he was surrendering everything. So these nine processes of devotional service, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took the role of a devotee to show us how, to the highest extreme of ecstatic love, he personified all of these nine processes of devotional service. We speak about Parikshit and Shukadev and Prahlad and Bali Maharaj and Akrura these different examples of the nine processes of devotional service, who are all perfectly exhibiting these qualities. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, more intensely than all of them, he simultaneously exhibited all the example for all nine processes of devotional service. Crest jewel of all avatars. And he's come begging us, accept this Krishna consciousness, accept the holy name of the Lord, accept this path. And he's also begging us, I have come with so many fruits of love of God. He's asking two things. Just accept this fruit, eat it and be happy, and then help me distribute all these other trillions of fruits that I have. Srila Prabhupada, such a perfect representative of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He just wanted us to accept this bhakti and be instruments of giving this bhakti to others. And as we actually become purified and receive the mercy of the Lord, our love for Krishna and our deep concern and compassion for others awakens. And this is the substance of this beautiful prayer of Prahlad Maharaj. Trinadapi Sudichena. We can only have this experience of love of God and compassion to others real when we have this humility that Prahlad Maharaj is here exhibiting. You will never find him or any of the other great souls of the Bhagavatam saying, I am great learned Acharya. I have come to deliver the world. Prahlad is, he's revealing himself to Krishna in the same spirit that Prabhupada prayed to Krishna on the Jaladutta in his prayers. I'm very fallen. He's not saying I'm great and everyone else is fallen. He's saying in delivering fallen souls engaged in your devotional service, show mercy, cause us mercy to persons like us. And he says, who engage in your service. Prahlad Maharaj is not thinking or presenting himself better than anyone. I'm just a fallen soul, completely dependent on your mercy. And with your mercy, I could do so much for others. And without your mercy, I'm just like everyone else, if not worse. That is the humility of a Vaishnava. Punarmushtaka bhava. We're always aware, and Srila Prabhupada explains, a devotee understands the power of maya. If we're humble, we'll be afraid of maya. That's a sign of humility, to be afraid of maya. Srila Prabhupada says, this is the quality of a Vaishnava. He or she is always afraid of maya. And in that fear is always taking shelter of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Concerned about what my next life will be. Prabhupada explains, you can be a pig and eat stool, or you can be a crocodile, and crocodiles eat everything. Actually, pigs are better than crocodiles. Crocodiles will eat you. Yes? They're very unique. 8,400,000 species of life, and every species has a particular empowerment and a particular design body for sense gratification. So crocodiles must really be attached to eating because they have the biggest mouth proportionately, I think, of any species of life that we know of. Yes? I mean, proportionately, a crocodile's mouth is practically about a third the size of his body. Yes? Hare Krishna. And his teeth are really sharp. And practically everything he does is with his mouth. He's got these little tiny legs that just go... His whole life is centered around his mouth. Just eating. Hare Krishna. So Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains how our first priority should be to live our life in such a way that we're preparing for our next life. In this spirit, we should chant the holy names. We end this class by requesting all the devotees to offer sincerest prayers to Srila Jaipatak Swami Maharaj, who is still in very critical condition, although there are signs of improvement which are giving us much hope, but still it is critical. He's very much aware at times of the day, and recognizes, reciprocates, but he's still on ventilator. And as long as he continues to be on the ventilator, his condition is critical. So let us take a few moments. Like Prahlad Maharaj, great souls like Jaipatak Swami Maharaj have just received Lord Chaitanya's mercy so gloriously and has given his life, his soul, his health, his everything to being an instrument of compassion to others. Krishna will decide where he wants Jaipatak Maharaj to offer his loving service. But it is our love to pray to Krishna, to consider how much we need him and how much the world needs him. So let us offer this prayer. Thank you very much. I am just, at this very moment, I am going to the hospital to visit His Holiness Jaipatak Swami Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.